The church was established by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ established the church to carry out his mission and his gospel in this world for people to come into a relationship with him and to be redeemed into the relationship in the community of God. That's what the church is all about. And that takes a lot of different people doing a lot of different things to make that happen around the world. And it's been happening for centuries. And so when I think about today, and we're talking about this idea, and you can even put it up there, the idea of living the gospel over the course of this summer, or talking about what it means to truly live the gospel, because the gospel is what Jesus brought us. And I think about all the expressions of the gospel, that it's going to be in every action and every hope and every prayer. It's going to be in all these things, that we want to truly not just say the gospel. You see, if you guys agree with this, you don't want to just speak and say the gospel. You want to truly live the gospel. Amen? Right? We want to live the gospel. And I think when we get into this story today, you're going to hear about an organization and a ministry that's trying that. And it's a form of the church carrying out the gospel. And that's what this is about. And so I'm excited about it. So Brandy, you can go ahead and come. I'm going to introduce Brandy as she comes. A lot of you know Brandy Romine and Jeremy Romine. They've been a part of our church since day one. And I'm just excited for her to share. A lot of great things have happened in their life over the last 2 years, including adopting their son Nathan, and then they have their other wonderful son Carter. And then about a little over a year ago, she started working at the Hope House OKC. And so she's going to share a little bit about this, and invite a friend up to share in a few minutes. And so let me just say a quick prayer, and then I'm going to hand it to you. So Lord, we pray now that as we enter into a time of really learning through the story of your gospel lived out in this world, that Lord, we would just we would be open to receiving, that it wouldn't just be someone else's story, but it would be, you'd be inspiring and speaking to our own heart about our story today. And so God, we pray for that. We pray that you would use this time in your name. Amen. Why don't you thank Brandy for coming?
Okay, so as Tim mentioned, I get the privilege of serving as the program director at an organization called Hope House OKC. And what we do is we walk with homeless families as they rebuild their lives and work towards creating a healthy future. So our mission statement is to break the cycles of poverty and homelessness one life at a time. And that one life at a time is really important, because that's where it all started. And a few years ago, there were some leaders from a local church that started doing a homeless outreach at a park, really a park that's right down the road from where our new church is going to be. And so every Wednesday, they would get together and they would have lunch and they would share a meal with the homeless population. And what they started doing is they started getting to know people and getting to know stories. And they quickly realized that homelessness had a different face, that it's not just the person standing on the side of the road holding a street sign, that there were many more stories involved than that. And so they realized that there were all these unseen faces in homelessness. So there are families who were suffering job loss, and they had tried so hard to hold everything together, but then they hit a bump in the road and they ended up out on the streets, and they never thought that they would be there. And then there were families who were sleeping on friends' couches from one night to the next, and not really knowing when that was going to end. And domestic violence. So there were women, and I know this can happen to men as well, but there were women who were fleeing domestic violence, but not really having anywhere to go for the long term. And so ending up right back into that violent cycle. And so really where the one life comes into play is there was a story. There was a lady who was sleeping in the Walgreens parking lot with her kids in the car. And so her kids were going to school every day, but going and sleeping in a car every night. And so really, to make a long story kind of long, God took three ordinary people and he stirred them and moved them to action. So they were so broken by what was going on and by what they were hearing, that after many talks over coffee and many conversations, in 2011, our first Hope House was opened. And we had one living community where we were able to house seven families. And so what our families do is they come and they live with us in their own apartment, and they work our program for 9 to 12 months. And one of my favorite parts about my job is what we get to do is we get to work with these families on casting a bigger vision for their future. Because if you think about it, if you have lived in poverty or experienced homelessness or even struggled with addiction, then you haven't had time to dream about about your future. So you're trying to keep everything together, and you're not thinking about what could be. You don't have time or energy to do that. So you're focusing on the here and the now. And so what our hope is that our families will walk through the doors of their new home and their new apartment, and that they will take a deep breath and just think about all that could be. So they'll take a deep breath and they'll go, and we tell them, you know, now that you don't have to worry or live in fear of losing your housing. So that's really heavy. Now that that has been lifted and you're no longer worried about being in a safe, stable environment, you know, every night that your kids are going to be sleeping with you, if you take all of that off your shoulders, what are you going to focus on to make sure that you never go back to the situation that you're in right now? And so I'm really excited to introduce a sweet friend of mine, Cassie Lunsford, if you want to go ahead and join me. Cassie has been in our program for 5 months, and she's lived with us. And what we do with our families is once they come to us, we work on these individual action plans. I forgot this. So we work on individual action plans with them. And so once they get settled, we talk with them about what goals do you want to achieve and how do we get there. And so that looks different for everybody. That some families say, I need to be reunified with my children. I need to work towards transportation, or I need to restore my driver's license. Some families, it's I want to go back to school, or maybe I started school, but I never finished. And so all of these things are different. So when I say program, that's really what we do, is we work with them on setting these goals, and then we walk with them and hold them accountable as they work towards their dreams and goals. And so Cassie, I was really excited because whenever Tim and I started talking about how to introduce this to the church, you know, my thoughts were, I can stand up here all day and tell you about our mission and our vision, and we have tons of great organizations in this city, but what's really changed me is getting to know people and getting to hear their stories. And so I was excited when I asked Cassie, because it is really hard. I don't like speaking in front of people. it's really hard whenever you don't know anybody in the room. And she was not only willing, she was excited to do it. And so, Cassie, let's go ahead and have a seat. And I'll let you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, good morning. I'm so grateful to be here. My name is Cassie. I have 4 wonderful children. I am 30 years old today. like Brandy said, I've lived at Hope House for about 5 months. I work full-time at OU Medical Center, and I just enrolled in Francis Tuttle.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. so I know, Cassie, for you, life was very different than it was for me growing up. And so why don't you start by just sharing with us what life was like for you growing up?
Growing up for me, I was very naive to the world around me, and I did not know what I was capable of becoming. My mother was 16 whenever she had me, so she was very young. Growing up, my life was full of addiction. Both of my parents were addicts. So that was the normal for me. I didn't know anything different. I have 2 sisters that I basically raised until I was about 7 years old. I didn't have any structure or stability. I can't remember where I went to kindergarten through 2nd grade. We moved so much. So that was really hard. I didn't have anybody guiding me in the right direction. And so I grew up very quickly, very quickly. And at a very young age, I started hanging around the wrong crowd, the wrong people. I was never involved in any church group. So that was all new to me. And in with hanging around the wrong people at a very young age, that quickly led to my addiction.
So I know one of the things that stands out in your story that we've talked about is the fact about not going to school, not finishing school. And I know that's something that my eyes were really open to in getting to know you and getting to know other stories, was that it wasn't that Cassie dropped out of school because you hated school or had an awful experience. It was more, you touched on that, it was more of the structure. The structure wasn't in place. And I know, so you say and tell us that addiction was a part of your story. So kind of touch on or help us understand, how did you start using?
I started using at a very young age. Like I said, I was 15. The first person I used with was my mom. I continued heavily using until I was 27 years old. And addiction for me was in and out of jail. I had 3 children at the age of 20 is when I had my oldest. And shortly after, I just had them back to back. I was never able to be the mother that I am today. I wasn't around. Like I said, I was in and out of jail. Addiction for me was very dark. I lost all eyes of hope. I didn't have a vision. I didn't have dreams. I thought that what I was doing was normal, that there was nothing else out there for me but what I was doing. So that was really the norm for me.
So I know in addiction and in hearing your story, that addiction consumed you from what you've shared with me. And we've talked, Cassie and I have, you know, talked a lot and talked about this before, but a lot of her addiction, she can share a little bit more, but she would lie and be dishonest and cheat. It made her be a person that she's not. And so I don't know if you want to touch on that or if you want
right.
me to
keep... I was very dishonest. I think that I lost sight of myself. I was trying to become a person that everybody else wanted me to be, and the people that were around me were not on the right track. So therefore, I was trying to become somebody that I didn't even know who I was. So I could look at you and make you believe anything that I wanted you to. I was very dishonest. I was very untrustworthy.
And I touch on that because the Cassie that I know is none of those things. And so in what I've learned in working with families who've struggled with addiction is really this addiction takes over and it consumes you. And you would do anything and everything to feed that addiction, and you become somebody who you're really not. And so I touch on that because today we celebrate that Cassie is here. And I didn't know Cassie and her addiction, but I know her now, and she is none of those things. And she has overcome so much, more than I could ever imagine. And so why don't you share with us now the fun part and the exciting part about where you're at today and really what you're working towards and what your hopes are.
Great. Today I'm able to be a better mother to all 4 of my children. I'm able to guide them in the direction that I was not guided down. I am able to be clean and sober today. I'm able to have friends that trust me. I'm able to have people around me that give me the support and walk with me and believe in me. Today I'm able to hold down a full-time job. I'm able to be independent and not have to rely on anyone or have to rely on stealing or lying to get the things that I need. I'm able to pursue my schooling, which I never thought I would do. I'm able to have stability and have structure and be held accountable. And I don't think any of that would have been possible without the Hope House and having people believe in me and having all my friends come and support me. And I'm very grateful to be where I'm at today.
Cassie is something that we didn't mention was that, and that we will celebrate and hold, don't clap yet because we have a couple of things. One, I want to celebrate that Cassie just recently obtained her GED, which is absolutely incredible. And she touched on she's in school, and then she kind of mentioned this too, but today is her birthday. And so many things to celebrate with her. And I just want to tell you, thank you so much, because I know how hard it is. Her story is not this peachy, bubbly story in how it starts out, and so that's really hard to share in and of itself, but let alone with a room full of people that you don't know. And so I'm super, super grateful that you are willing to do this. So thank you so much, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
so good. Thank you so much. She was nervous, but she didn't act it. You did not act it. It was so good. Well, me and Bernie just kind of wanted to take a few more minutes and talk a little bit more about a few things. And Bernie, you've been in this for a year, and one thing we keep talking about is stories a lot today. And I feel like all of us have our own story, and we all have the things that God's doing in us. And God's been doing, I know, big things in your family, and God's used the Hope House as a part of that in a big way. And so I just thought it would be cool, too, for you to share a little bit from a personal kind of story. Like, what are you learning? What are you, I mean, I don't even know how you want to say it, so I'm just going to kind of hand it to you, like your story, what God's doing and impacting you through, especially your involvement with the Hope House.
So while being at Hope House, God is doing a big work in my life and my family's life. I know that my perspective and perception on life have completely changed. As we just heard in Cassie's story, and really in what I hear in a lot of stories, is that the odds were stacked against her at such a young age. And so she was born into this cycle of addiction and kind of just sucked into it and not really having a choice. So at a very young age, she was surrounded by this. And that's something that my eyes have been open to, in the fact that that can happen, but not only that it can happen, that it happens and it happens often. So some other ways that my perspective has changed is I know it can be really easy to drive by somebody standing on the side of the road and to have thoughts of, wow, they just need to get a job. I've been guilty of it. I know that it can be really easy just to drive by the bus stops and not even look over there or not even think about maybe what their day is going to be like. And then it can be really easy to hear stories of addiction and to think, why are they doing that? Or why don't they just stop? You know, they're hurting themselves and they're hurting their families and not really understanding how much it consumes them. And so now my perspective when I drive by is maybe that person standing on the side of the road holding that sign, maybe they have a criminal past, and maybe that was 8 years ago, but whenever they go to apply for jobs, they still have to check that box, yes, that I'm a convicted felon or I've committed a felony. And that's really hard. That's one of the hardest things that we find with our families is finding a job, because a lot of people are not willing to give them the opportunity. And as you see and heard in her story, and really if you got to know all of our families, they're incredible. And they've turned that corner and they want something different, yet it's really hard to get that opportunity. And so my thoughts have changed on that. But then also driving by the bus stop, I never realized that where it might take me 7 minutes to go to Walmart, it may take them 2 hours if you don't have transportation. And you may miss the bus by 2 minutes and have to wait 30 minutes until the next bus comes and it's really hot outside. And then you get on that next bus and that bus breaks down. And then you finally make it to Walmart tired and you have to get your groceries and carry them back on the bus. And I never drove by the bus stops and thought or said a prayer of, God, please help make their day a little bit easier, because the reality of what they're walking through is already hard, not having transportation, and then the bus system doesn't help. And so, and then now in thinking about people who are in addiction, you know, maybe they want to stop, but they don't know where to stop. Or a lot of the families that come through the Hope House program is maybe they're at a place where they've stopped and they're in their recovery, but they just need people to come alongside them. So they just need people to grab their hands and to say, if you're willing to fight for a different life, then we're willing to fight with you and we're not going anywhere. And so that's really what I get excited about Hope House, is because that's what we do. So our families work incredibly hard, and they are extremely motivated, and they are amazing in so many ways, and we don't do any of that for them. That's them already. What we get to do is we get to provide them the opportunity, and we get to walk with them and encourage them and hold them accountable and point them in the direction of resources, but they do all the work, and it's just been such a joy. I mean, I just touched on a tiny amount of the work that God's done in my heart, but he's really allowed me to see people just with different eyes. And it's just been an incredible time. Like he said, it's been a little bit over a year, but I'm just so, so thankful. And I get, as much as I am not a fan of speaking in front of a group of people, I get really excited when I get to share about this because God is doing a really big work at Hope House, and I'm just so joyful that I get to be a part of it. So thank you for letting me.
Well, of course. And, you know, I think I love what you say, what you're saying just about the Lord giving you eyes to see things differently. And I think we can certainly talk about a lot of scriptures, and I'm running through my mind about how Jesus, you know, taught us to see the world with compassion and to see it with a heart and eyes that he would have for them. And so I think a lot of what I'm hoping today we can be, if you will, learning is this idea that God's not done with us. We haven't seen the world as he sees it yet. And I think us being inspired to see the world differently is really, really great. And I think part of what God's done, among other things. And I know one of the things, we have some friends with us from the Hope House today, and we just want to pray a prayer over the Hope House, over you and the leadership of it. And thank you guys for being here. And Roderick, who's a part of our church, is one of the resident managers at the Hope House. And and Emily Otnes is here as well. She is one of the resident managers as well. And so, and I'm sure there's others, but those are the people I thought of for sure. But let me just pray, and then we actually do have something practical and tangible that our church wants to do, okay? And we're going to talk about that after I pray. So, Lord, we just pray right now. I pray over Hope House. I pray over the work that they're doing in the city for families and for kids and for parents. And Lord, we just pray for just a fresh and continued just sense of your presence over everything they do. That, Lord, your spirit would guide them in ways that they maybe didn't even know would be coming. So we pray that over their ministry. We pray that over Brandon and the leadership like Treb over at the Vine and others that are in that church that really was where this was birthed. We thank you for what you did and what you're doing there. Lord, we pray for Roderick and Emily. We pray for the families that are in this room and the others that aren't. God, we just pray for each and every person that's a part of this amazing thing that's happening in our city and not far from any of us. That, God, we're seeing lives restored. We're seeing lives kind of rebuilt, and we're seeing families pushed forward in a way that is good. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that, and we just pray a prayer of blessing and favor over each and every family and over this ministry, God. We trust you with it. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, what we're going to do now is we have a little card that some people are going to stand up and pass out, and on that card is going to be a few things that are going to be helpful for our kind of next little piece that we want to share with you. And Brandy and I have been talking really for a long time about what and how we do something as a church. They're such an amazing, unique ministry. They do some deep work in the lives of families. So how do we specifically play a role in that? And we hope that we're going to figure that out over years to come. But as a starting place, we kind of have an idea. And so that's what you're getting in your hands right now. And I'm just kind of waiting for everybody to get one before we start chatting about it. But as we do, let's just make sure you understand, you kind of get what they do, but practically what that means is they actually have two locations where they have homes. And so Brandy, real quick, share about those two places, because maybe if they don't know anything about it, they might want to know, okay, where are the families staying? What are the facilities? What is it?
So as I mentioned, whenever we first started, we had one apartment complex or living community where we could house seven families. And this last year has just been amazing in the sense that we have really tripled. So we have moved from a place of being able to house seven families to now 21 families. And so we've spent this last year, we had a donor come along and purchase us two additional buildings with 14 apartments in them. And so we've spent this last year completely renovating and remodeling these apartments. And so just in May, we opened up these two new living communities. And so they're located, both of the buildings are located over by the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. So not far, right off 23rd Street from, of course, our neck of the woods. And so as a result of that, even gives us more purpose to be involved. All right, so what you have in your hand is we kind of have what to do and when to do it. Is we just thought of a practical way. She just mentioned these new living community, the new living community over by the Capitol. Some families are living there. That place is not full yet. That's where Roderick is. And what they are going to be doing is just moving families in over the course of the next number of months. And so every time they move a new family in, they want to furnish the apartment. So it's a very practical way to do, like, everything in the apartment is going to be furnished. And so we thought, and she thought, is this would be a great way to involve our church, because they actually want to furnish two apartments currently, and this is kind of our task. We're a big enough church, and I think God's blessed us enough that doesn't seem like a hard task, but it seems like a really worthy and good task for us to do. And so when you see help furnish a Hope House home, there's a bunch of things on the back of this card that are things that are what they would want. And we're actually going to have you sign, you know, maybe if you want to do one of these to let us know, we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But then it says Kids of VBS. I'm just going to go through this card. If your family is a part of VBS, wouldn't it be cool to involve your kids in something? We did this last year with Hope Chest, and we provided some of the bedding and things for kids, and we had kids involved in that. We'd love for our kids to be a part of this. And so maybe you would get your kids to go to, you know, either maybe you have something really nice in your home that you want to donate, or you have something, of course, that you can go to the store and purchase. And so there's a little list on the back that says VBS list, and that's something that your kids could bring to VBS. And then the third thing there that you see is volunteer or give to Hope House. And there's a lot of ways to do that. There's a lot of unique things about Hope House that would take a long time for us to explain. And so we're just going to say, if you're interested in taking a step deeper into the ministry and the work of Hope House, we just say, hey, talk to Brandy, and her contact information is on this card. And so what we want to do, going back to this first idea of furnishing these two homes, is we actually want to create an opportunity over the next 2 weeks. We want to turn the urgency up. So this is something that you would put on your to-do list, like now, to say, hey, we're going to contribute to this. And in the next 2 weeks, for you to get those items, if you will, those furnishings sort of collected and ready to donate. And then on Sunday, 2 weeks from today, August 2nd, we are going to go over there at 2 o'clock. You guys can have a lunch, do whatever you need to do. Bring your stuff, of course, with you to church that day, because, of course, you'll be at church that day. And you're going to bring your stuff with you. And then we're going to take all of those things. If everything as big as, hey, we want to give a couch, even though I don't think there's a couch on this list. But if you have things that aren't on this list that you want to give, of course, they receive most things. And as in any donation, this is going to be, I think the proper term is gently used or new. So, you know what I mean? If you would put it in your home, right? And so that's what we would be asking for. And so on Sunday, August 2nd, we're actually going to go in, we're going to take the stuff that we are going to furnish, and we're going to try our best to set up two apartments that day. With as many of us as there are and as many as potentially could be there, it might not even take that long. And so don't want to give a time frame, but it would be, you know, a little bit of a time commitment that afternoon. But we would, of course, take this stuff in and set it up. You'd get to then see the Hope House firsthand, which is what I really want everybody to see. I was able to go there a couple months ago or whenever it was, and it blew my mind. And it was like, oh, my gosh, we have to be a part of helping and be in serving, and whatever we can do to just be in a relationship, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we want to link arms with other people doing good things for the kingdom. And so that's what this is about, and this is what we're doing. And anything you want to add to that, because I didn't mean to just run through it all, but.
That's okay. I will add, I'm going to have signups at the back for specific items. So on there, we put basic needs of what we do, but I wanted everybody to know, like, for example, on the bedroom, we put bedding, pillows, and sheets. I think, yes, bedding, pillows, and sheets. But no, just in envision, we're starting with two completely blank apartments. So if you take on the bedding roll and you want to provide a lamp or a picture or something that goes on the wall, there is nothing on the wall. So they're two completely blank apartments. So we didn't put that on there. We just put absolute needs. But if you take on the bathroom or anything like that and that's what you want to sign up to do, just know that you can bring more to go on the wall and more decorations. I just didn't put it on there.
Isn't this cool? This is a cool thing, right? Are we together? Yes? Yes, this is good. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I mean, I think this is an amazing way for our church to just kind of do something. I think so many times we talk and we talk and we talk about living the gospel, about doing things, and I know a lot of us just want something to put our hands on, right? And we say, we can do this. We can put a hand to the plow, and this is a simple way, but we hope there's even deeper and even more significant ways, but I know this is a great way for us to begin. So, like I said, this is only 2 weeks from today. I know how things go. I know how life goes. I know you're going to walk out of here, and you're going to have a million things to do, and so you need to do whatever you need to do to, like, imprint this on your calendar and in your brain so you'll make it happen, and so, again, we know this is a little bit different morning, but we really hope that this is going to inspire you in a few different ways. So with that, can you thank Brandy for sharing so much today?